ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents a show about everything. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with unforgettable, ever-insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real-life journeys. As we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live, always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before with tonight's special guest, MMA champion, serial entrepreneur, and motivational speaker, Trey Teligman. And now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
All right. I am excited. I feel like I should put on my announcer voice and introduce a fight. And in the ring, because we've got Trey Teligman, as in Trey Trauma Teligman, on the show. This is exciting, and so many people that have called in or wrote in on their horse, have written in, emailed Facebook. I mean, it's like people are like saying, I can't believe you have him on, and blah, blah, blah. So this is exciting, and I'm excited. And it's interesting. I tell you, I feel like I have experiences sometimes just so I could share them on our Monday night shows, because just this Friday night, this is so apropos, Friday afternoon, I was at the post office because I needed to get a money order. So I get up to the lady at the counter after waiting in line on a Friday, and I pull out this big wad of cash that I was going to get this money order, or a couple money orders, and I start counting out the cash. And the lady behind the counter at the post office says, "Must be a porn star." And I took a moment, and I'm thinking, well, that's a big assumption on this lady's part, because I'm pulling out a big wad of cash, that she thinks I'm a porn star. Of course, I also took it as a compliment, so, and I didn't know what to say. So I just kind of looked up at her, and I said, "What?" And she said, "Her." And she's talking about somebody in line, and she does with her head like, "Her, over there, she must be a porn star." Well, now I'm disappointed she's not talking about me, and I'm thinking, okay, so I turn around to look at this lady, and there's a lady who looks like she's probably a porn star. And I wanted to agree with her, saying, "Yeah, you're right," but then I thought, well, wait a minute, that's some assumption on her part because of the way she did it. She kind of like rolled her eyes and had this look like, that woman must be a porn star. And you, those of you who don't know, I live in Studio City, which is like porn capital of the world. So it could very well be that she is. But I happen to know and have met some porn stars who are some really nice people, who are doing some really amazing things out in the world, who have really nice families or partners or whatever. So it's just, so I thought to myself, lady, you're making some assumption. You don't know how that lady got into being a porn star, if she is one, just because she's dressed that way and looks like that. Okay, she probably was, but it doesn't matter. Lady, you don't know why she got in the business. You don't know what it means to her. You don't know if she's like supporting her family as a single mother, if she doesn't want to be in it, or if she wants to be in it. Maybe she like does it, so I'm thinking, geez, people got some nerve judging other people. Okay. And as soon as I said that, as I'm counting out the cash, I flash back to a conversation I had with our producer, Mark, a little after meeting Trey Teligman. Okay. So I had met Trey Teligman. Actually, Mark introduced me to him and his wife in a more kind of like social setting. And so we're talking, getting to know each other over the course of several hours and having a good time and all that stuff. And we're watching a show, blah, blah, blah. And then like a while later, a couple days later, Mark says to me, we should have Trey on the show. And I'm like, cool. Why? I mean, he'd be great, I'm sure, but he seems like a nice guy. Like, but why? And he says, MMA. And at that point, I'm thinking of the guy I met, Trey, and his wife, and they're like really cool and doing nice things out in the world and philanthropists, helping people. And I'm thinking, MMA. not muscular dystrophy, not multiple sclerosis. I'm thinking like it's a foundation that they're head of or something. And he looks at me like, MMA, mixed martial arts. And I'm like, what? What about it? And he says, he's a champion of MMA. And I'm like, of MMA? But he seems like such a nice guy. Oops. Back. What was I assuming about somebody who gets in the ring and messes somebody else up? Yeah, I don't know why he got into it or what it means to him or what personal stuff he had to go through in order to be able to do that or what it means to the other guys that he's fighting with and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know any of this stuff. And I made an assumption. So I thought, how interesting. Thank you, lady, for judging that porn star, because we do this shit and I don't like it when I do it. I didn't like it when she did it. And so I'm so grateful to Mark because he's like, we should have Trey on the show. And I'm like, yeah, we should. And then the more we talked with Trey and the more I got to know about him, I'm like, holy shit. Who could have ever judged this man for being other than a nice man and a good guy and also being a champion of MMA? And all of a sudden, I'm like, this is cool. This is cool. I get it. I get it. This is Life Changes with Filippo. I get it. All right. So that's how Trey ended up on the show. And we're so glad, because this is going to be so fun for me and for us here at Life Changes. And I'm sure for all of you. So we're going to have him without further ado right after this.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They're acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWays ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
And I have to say, so the way that all came about when I said, and Mark said he's MMA champion, and then I'm like, well, tell me more. And he's like, and he's a nice guy, and he does this, and he helps all these people and all that stuff. So getting out of our judgment and also learning about what it is that we each have to offer and our journeys. This is so why I'm so excited about having Trey on the show, because he is not only an American mixed martial arts champion, he is a champion in life. And that's the thing. He has captured the attention of fighters and fans all over the world, which was obvious from the attention that we've gotten so far ever since 1995. Actually, he started way back when, starting getting a lot more attention from being a kid, taking karate lessons at 9, weight training at age 18, and already he was in karate and boxing tournaments, participating in those, winning those martial arts. His dream was to be a pro athlete like his dad, who played for the St. Louis Hawks before moving into the corporate world of pharmaceuticals, interestingly enough. But in 1995, it was his professional fighting debut in the Russia Absolute Fighting Championship. And he not only earned respect in the ring that night with an impressive win over the highly favored Russian fighter, but also the title of the first American to ever fight in Russia. He has since retired, as all of his fans know, from the game, but he has found new passion, which of course took time and a lot of soul searching and life changes for him to find. And for the most part, Telegman's early years were focused on bettering himself, whereas these days, everything that Telegman chooses to do and get involved in have one objective, and that's to help people's lives and situations and to resolve and make things better across the board. And that's what he does. Welcome, Trey Trauma Telegman, on the show.
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you?
Good to be here.
It's good to have you here. So so now you know how I fessed up and how all that came to be. And do people make assumptions about you all the time?
Yeah, they do. I got to back you up here for a second, because before we met you there that day and we actually spoke to Mark, he said, look for the guy that looks like the porn star. So that's how he was describing you before we ever met you.
And funny man, too.
So all I heard about that, out of that conversation, was that I wasn't a nice guy.
No,
when you found out I was an MMA, I wasn't so nice, huh?
That's just the thing, is like, that was my assumption. Like, but he seems like a nice guy. And Mark's like, yeah, he is. And that's the reason why he should be on the show. And I like totally missed that. I'm like, MMA, are you serious? Are you sure we're talking about the same guy? So, you know, you're also this big guy. And so I bet people make assumptions about you all the time. Like, they don't know you a lot when they don't know you.
My wife always says that I'm 99.9% lover and I'm 0.01% fighter. And you have to pay me for that. So I get that assumption a lot just because I'm a big guy. And that wasn't a bad thing when you're young. You want to be the big guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. As a matter of fact, you weren't always the big guy. And that's probably why you became the big guy. And we didn't really have enough time to talk about the last time we spoke. And this is probably a good time to talk about just that. Like, how does one become Trey Trauma Telegman?
Well, you know, like you said a minute ago, I definitely was not a big guy growing up, but I always knew I had potential just because of my family. My father was 6'5", my older brother was 6'5", my little brother is 6'5", now. And so when I was little, I was like the smallest guy in school, and I was a point man on the basketball team. I was, my friends from where I went to elementary school, junior high, they used to laugh at me because I was little skinny legs. I was like little tiny mite. But I always knew, because of who my parents were, that, you know, the worst case scenario, I was going to be 6 foot tall, and I ended up growing up to be 6 foot two. So I always knew that I had potential in that, but I was afraid I was going to be a skinny boy, because I don't know if you know about my chest or not. Those people out there that haven't seen it or not, I had a kind of a sunken in chest on my right side. And so when I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt or I'm wearing a shirt and I'm standing from the side, when you look at me, I almost used to disappear as a kid. I was always very, very conscious of that growing up. And so that
was
something that was
Trey, awesome. Trey, you weren't born with that, right? That happened.
That was in a car wreck when I was a year and a half old.
Wow.
So I've had it. So because of that, I've had it my whole life. So I've never looked at it as a handicap. And, you know, so people used to always ask me questions. I've never really done interviews on it because I never looked at it as a handicap. And the best thing I say to that, to people that would come to me and ask about that, I say, you know, everybody has handicaps. Just some are more visible than others.
Wow.
And when you look at that, it's so true. I mean, you and I may be about to fight, and you may have the weakest right-hand punch there is, and, you can hit me five times to my one, but if I hit you one time, you get knocked out.
Mm.
And so that, I would consider that a weakness on your part. So you're looking at my weakness. I may not be able to see yours, but we've all got them.
Yeah, and I'm sure I got the weakest left punch, so you're right about that. So we don't even need to test that out. But so here you were, this scrawny kid. Like, did you want to make sure that you got big, or it was just a part of, you know, being in sports that you just happened to get big?
No, it was all kind of by design. I mean, I started my personality. You know, the people that know me, I guess my friends, once you get to know me, I'm a very passionate person. I'm a very emotional person. I'm a kind of person that stands up for what he believes in, and so I stand up for what's right. And in second grade, when you stand up for what's right, it a lot of times gets you beat up. And so when you're standing in line at the water fountain and some kid cuts in line and you say, hey, you can't do that because that's not right, and they say no, and you say, hey, you can't do that, you know, you have no intention of fighting, but the kid turns around and hits you in the nose, Mm. All of a sudden, you're like, well, you start crying, and, you know, it's not good. And then when it happens again later on, somebody else does something, you step up and go, hey, you can't do that just because you're that's just who you are. And all of a sudden, you're getting beat up again. And I was smart enough, I guess, you know, from that happening a few times to say to myself, hey, this isn't working out so well. And, you know, and also because I'm an emotional guy, when I get hit, I start crying. So when I start crying, I get become even more humiliated because everybody starts laughing at me. And I learned to fight back because of that. And so I started studying. I started taking martial arts. You know, I really, there was something that I really paid attention to.
You know, Trey, one of the things that impressed me the most, it was an interview that I saw of you, like, that for, the fight was cut short. And it was interesting that you said, you know, you had your issues going in and you were, you, the interview was about you and you still gave like the other guy credit, like, and the other guy had his issues too going in. And I know we both would have wanted this isn't somebody that just, you know, this is like, this is a sport. You were being very sportsman.
Well, it's not even about being sportsman. It's about being real. Like when you, this last weekend's a good example of that. When you see Mayweather fighting Cotto, and you see all the hype and all the build up before the fight, and they're all talking trash back and forth, and I'm going to knock him out, and it's not going to go past the eighth round, not going to go past the tenth round. They're all talking that. And the reality is this, neither one of them has a clue how that fight's going to end. And no one could ever, if they did it, they'd be billionaires because they'd be having their friends bet on the fight so that they could be capitalizing on it. Nobody really knows the outcome of the fight. It doesn't matter that you, you know, if they were to fight that fight, you know, maybe Mayweather wins that fight 18 out of 20 times, but there's always a chance that something could happen that, hey, he could get cut or he could get caught, or you just never know. That fight may be over in 30 seconds, might get poked in the eye. You never know how a fight's going to end. And so when they're saying that, they don't really know. So when I was doing my, when I do my interviews, I'm just a realist. You know, when somebody says to me, you know, how'd you, I had problems going into the fight, but hey, I know he had problems too. You know, one thing about the fight game, no one ever goes into the ring 100% healthy. And so if I'm not healthy, I guarantee you he's not healthy because that's just part of getting racked up every day training. If you're not training at that level, you're not going to be there in the first place.
And that's such an analogy of life. I mean, that's perfect right there, what you just said, right, about life. Amen.
That is very much about life because it's, let me come up with another good one, I guess. You know, it's like in the business world, it's the consistency, it's the day in and day out. It's no different than training for the fight, but you don't know how that's going to, if you go on that sales call, you don't know how it's going to end. You think you're confident, you know you're the better sales guy, you know you have the better company, but that doesn't mean you're going to get the project. It doesn't mean you're going to get the KO and win the contract. So, I mean, life and fighting are very much alike.
Yeah, you know, and actually, I know you're big on quotes. I mean, you've got some of your favorite for that other people have said, and then you've actually coined several of them yourself. And I think there's another one right there. I mean, that's powerful stuff. So, thank you for that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you one of my favorite quotes is I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Million Dollar Baby with Clint Eastwood. It's something that really it kind of that describes my life, and when I'm talking to younger kids, when that's the one thing I try to teach them is to go for their dreams, to really you know, I'm not just saying just you know I'll go off the handle and just go for something, but if you really have a passion about something, if there's something that really drives you, it's something you really love, man, go for it, because from that quote from Million Dollar Baby, it's the magic of risking everything. A dream that nobody sees but you, and most of the time when you have a dream, nobody else does see it. The society is always telling you not to go for it. It can't happen. You know, stay in school, do this, keep your job. Well, you have a family. Don't risk this. And I'm the exact opposite. You know, you may not want me talking to your kid because I'm going to tell him to go for it.
No, I'd want you talking to my kid, I have to say. And you know, while we're at it, we talked about another quote that you're big on, and I put it up on the website as the title of the show, because at least a piece of it, because it just signifies so much of what you and I have been talking about and what Mark's been sharing about you. It is It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcomings. But who does actually strive to do the deed? Who knows the great enthusiasm, the great devotion, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat. Trey, tell us who said that.
Theodore Roosevelt. He was the 26th president.
Indeed. Yeah, tell us what that
means. Those are the best words I've ever heard.
Yeah, tell us why that means so much to you.
That there, you know, the critic is always the person that, you know, people, and it's society, I guess, people will keep you down if you allow them. And what that means is that, you know, everybody tries to tell you you can't do something or you can't achieve something. The critic is the person, 9 times out of 10, let me rephrase that, 99 out of 100 times, who has never done it himself. He's the guy that's sitting in the bleachers talking crap and saying it can't be done, or making fun of you or laughing at you or whatever. And they're never the one out there in the arena. They're never the one putting it on the line and going for it. And every person that I've ever met that has gone for it never had any regret that they went for it. And that's some strong, you know, to think about that is really strong, because, you know, I would much rather have failed over and over and over than to have never gone for it.
Wow.
Yeah, I love, man, that quote. I read that all the time. I mean, I read it, I would say weekly, but my week's kind of, I have a little bit of brain damage, so I'd say I read it weekly, but it might have been two months since the last time I read it, and I just don't remember.
Well, I'm glad you shared it with us, and I'm glad that we shared it on the show here. We'll have to put that up on the website underneath your bio so that people can see that, since it's so important to you and so powerful, period. So let me ask you this. You know, I have to make the analogy, because it's just so obvious, like we talked about earlier, how boxing, it compares to life. But in boxing, I mean, you're not being beaten down by the system, or you're not being beaten down by your boss, you know, metaphorically. You're literally being beaten down at times, unless you're doing the beating, by another human being, and you're taking hits on your body and stuff. How do you get up from that?
You get up from that you don't get into that. See, the way you look at it, somebody who's never done it, you look at that and go, wow, that's crazy. That I can never imagine that. But when you're a kid and that's what you've started doing your whole life, when you've gone to karate practice or you've gone to boxing or you've gone to wrestling, and you're always, you know, coming from the little peewee leagues that are coming up, and at first it's fun and it's easy and it gets more and more physical. It's like playing, you know, peewee football. Peewee football is fun, you know. And as you get older, it gets a lot more violent, a lot more harder hits and whatnot. So all of a sudden, one day you wake up and you're going hard, and it's just who you are. And getting hit is not that big a deal. You know, people always go, oh, how can you take that? You know, the thing that would make it funny is this. You know, my wife and I, if I'm walking in the house and I hit my elbow on the door, I'm like, ow, man. I'm sort of jumping around like a little kid. It kills me, you know. But if I'm in the ring and somebody hits me upside the head, or in the face, or in the nose, it doesn't faze me one bit. It's just you're focused. You're in battle. You're in the game. You're in the competition. It's all about competition. I'm just like anybody else. You know, paper cut, and I whine like a little girl sometimes.
we're getting the whole story here. I appreciate that, Trey. tell me. Okay, so starting off as a little kid, someone's doing something wrong, you stand up for it, someone beat you up, and, you know, the first time, second time, third time, and finally you said, okay, I got to do something about this. So you start working out, and you're getting strong and all that stuff. And then, you know, fast forward a few years later after a lot of hard work and stuff, then people want to be your effing friend, right?
That's the one thing about the fight game. That's the one thing about life, I guess. You know, when you're young, you're trying to become somebody. You're trying to make your way in the world. And I don't care who you are. When you're in school, elementary school, high school, college, there's a pecking order. You're always trying to be popular. You're always trying to fit in, and you're always trying to make your mark and become, you know, become somebody so that you do have fun. And for me, it was, you know, I was smart enough to learn that when I started fighting at an early age, that made me cool, that, you know, people liked me. And, you know, I started boxing in, I boxed for a couple of years when I was in the junior high. And, man, just, you know, when you start winning, that's a neat feeling, and people treat you different, you know.
Yeah.
And that kind of becomes your identity. And it was, you know, for me, it was, I was such a little guy that it made me, where people didn't mess with me, and that was, you know, as a kid, that was really cool.
And then the ones that then wanted to be your friend afterwards, are you like, get out of here, or did you like, all right?
No, you know, I've always been I like having friends. I'm a friendly guy. I'd much rather have a friend than an enemy. And you know, I'm the type that forgives easily. I can forgive easily if it's heartfelt. You know, if it's real. I don't forgive at all if it's not, and I can tell. I'm pretty good about telling who's fake and who's not.
Good point. And you got to be connected to something else to be able to figure that out. You know, a thought just came to my mind, and I have to say, obviously, for so many people, especially a lot of guys, you've lived the dream life. I mean, you've won in the ring where you're actually fighting other guys. You married a beautiful woman, and you've been married with her for years and stuff like that. So, you know, you did well, and you're still doing well and all that stuff. So you got this dream life, and yet I flash back to a story you told me, and I just made the connection. It's like, dream life. How many people dream about going back to their high school reunion as somebody? And you went back as Trey Trauma Teligman with your beautiful wife. Tell us what that dream is like for those of us who'd never lived it.
Well, the funny part of that, I think I told you this, you know, I go back and nobody really knows who I am because they're all... Nobody there really watches MMA, and so you walk in, and you're just, I'm still just me. And when I was a kid, I went by Tracy. So in the high school days, it's Tracy, hey, Tracy, hey, Tracy. And so we walk in, and nobody knows me. And just as we walk up to the front thing, the guy that was hired to be the photographer for the event sees me and, like, freaks out and comes up and goes, oh, my God, and you're Trey Teligman. Can I get a picture with you? So somebody, he's handing the camera to somebody else taking a picture with me, and I'm sitting there laughing. I'm thinking, to them a while ago, this couldn't be any funnier than this. Nobody went to high school with and has a clue who I am, but the photographer I hired for the thing knows who I am.
Oh, so that's funny.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
That's funny. No, I didn't catch that, actually. I must have been writing something down when we talked about that, because as a matter of fact, I'm looking through my notes right now. We've got so much that I would love to talk about, but it's just like the show's just going by so quickly. When we come back here, I really want to talk about, you know, you are out there helping people. I mean, the funny thing is like, here you were. How did you put it? You say it's about me, it's about me, and all of a sudden now it's become about everybody else. I mean, where does that switch happen?
Well, you know, it's kind of like this with me. When I look at my life, it's kind of been like three phases of my life. You know, when I was younger, 18 years old, you're getting out in the world, you're just trying to figure everything out. And I used to tell a story that I was lost for a lot of years, but I say not lost, I just didn't know what I wanted. And, you know, I look back on when I talk to friends of mine, just through experience of life, you know, everybody kind of figures it out at a different age. Some people know at 5 years old that they want to be a policeman or they want to be a doctor, or somebody, you know, at 15 figures out they want to be they're going into the military, or they have their life goals set. And then some people, you know, they don't figure it out until they're 25 or 30 or 40, and some people never figure it out. They just kind of float through life. I was 29 years old, and I don't want to say floating through life. I just kind of accepted that I was an average guy living an average life, and at 29 years old is when the fighting came along to me. My first pro fight, I was 30 years old. And that's not something you give up your livelihood for and your family to go try to do something like that. That, you know, that's not a smart move. And everybody said I was crazy. Everybody thought I was crazy. But let me tell you something. The very first time that I saw a video of that style of fighting, I knew right then and there that's what I was going to be doing. My heart started beating. For the first time in my life, I was just blown away. I mean, I did. There's a whole funny story on how the whole thing went, because I'm sitting there watching this fight with a bunch of my friends drinking beer, hanging out. They got this you know, tape that came out of Brazil, and they're watching this fight together, and it's like fight after fight, and it's like kind of like, you know, cage fighting these guys with no rules, no time limits, no nothing. And I watched the first fight, and I'm thinking to myself, man, I could go with those guys. You know, if I had the right training, I could beat those guys. Mm. I'll watch the next fight, and I'm a realist, so I see that, and I go, no, I'm not on this guy's level yet, but the right training, I could beat this guy. So I'm watching every fight, and I'm adding everything up, and I'm thinking, and I'm watching the last fight, and I watch these guys who are the top guys, and I go, I'm thinking to myself, you know, with the right kind of training, I could beat these guys. Mm. And so stupid me, in front of my friends, I turn to my friends, and I go, and I could beat these guys. And everybody just fell about themselves laughing. Just, you know, I was humiliated. First of all, none of these guys never knew I trained or that I'd ever fought before when I was a kid. Never knew that I used to box or that I wrestled. And I was just Trey to them, you know. And so they're laughing their heads off. And I literally left it. That didn't discourage me one bit. Got up the next morning, went to the gym. I hadn't trained in 4 years at that time. I'd gotten away from it and got on with my real life and got on into the real world. And I went back the next day and started training from that day forward, knowing that I was going to do that. Not knowing how, not knowing what, but I was driven to train. All of a sudden, I had the desire to train. And that's the one thing I tell people now, you know, when it comes to your dreams and stuff, is to, when you have a passion for something, go for it, because you will be successful. At 29 years old, everybody in the world was telling me, there's no way I could be successful. You know, if you look back at boxers back in the day, you know, at the age of 30, you were washed up. It was done and over. You didn't start a career at 30 years old. The top guys were ending it at 30 years old. But nowadays, because the 90s came along with nutrition and supplements and what we know now, it's, you know, your top athletes are going into their upper 30s. You know, you had, I just forgot some guys, you know, Holyfield and Tyson. And Lennox Lewis, you know, world champions at 38 years old.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but when I was embarrassed to tell people I was fighting because of my age, because they think I was some nutcracker, you know, that I was, you know, retarded for doing that. Mm-hmm. So I was, you know, when I first started, I was just driven to do it, and I gave up everything to go do it. So I tell people, you know, and when I first started, it was, you know, it was, there was no money in it. It's just what I knew I wanted to do.
Yeah, this is a great story. Obviously, wasn't the beer talking that day. It was your soul. And so, I when we come back, I want to talk about what your soul was saying. And I think, based on some of what you shared with me, that your soul was saying, learn how to be a winner so you can teach other people how to be a winner. So I want to talk about being a winner when we get back, and also about some of the work you're doing with the youth programs and with drug addicted people and stuff like that, which is amazing. So we're talking to Trey Teligman, and we're honored to have him on the show, and we'll be right back with him right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
That's Life Changes indeed. This is Filippo with Life Changes with Filippo, and I am excited that our guest is Trey Teligman. We mentioned a quote, actually Trey mentioned one, and then I mentioned one that's one of his favorites, and I also mentioned that he is got some great quotes out there for people to really live by, and obviously he lives by them, and I'd like to read a couple of them to you right here. This is one from Trey Teligman. The people that you try and impress the most are the ones that are the most screwed up. I mean, think about that shit right there. How about this? To be a champion, one must risk total failure every time he or she steps into the ring. And obviously, that's the ring of life or whatever it is that we're doing. And here's one more by Trey Teligman. Life is good. I could complain, but then God would give me something to complain about. Awesome. Trey, where does this stuff come from?
This is just from life experiences. You know, I could, the people that you try to impress the most, that one there came to me from years of experience of, you know, when you're younger and you're trying to make it in the world. And look, what inspired that quote was, you know, when you're 20 years old, 21 years old, and you're trying to get into the bar, trying to get into a club, and you're standing in line, and you get to see those people go by you in line, and, you know, you're thinking, man, if I could just be cool enough to walk past the line, I'd be somebody. And, you know, then a year or so later, you get to where you get to walk right in, and you think, man, you get in, and you think, man, you know, if I could just have that table in the back, I'd be so cool. You know, then you get that table in the back and you're thinking, you know, if I could have that Mercedes, man, I'd be so cool. And all of a sudden one day you wake up and you have all that and you look back and you go, you know, the real cool people that walk in, first of all, they don't go to that place, but the ones that you're trying to impress in there are the ones that all have, their lives are all just a total mess. You know, they're the ones that are divorced or that don't, that, you know, not happy in their life or personal life. They're always trying to show off and impress everybody else. And they're the ones that are living way above their heads and, you know, what we used to call the $30,000 a year millionaires. So that's where that came from. It's funny. Those are the people that are snubbing their nose at you when you're walking up, and those are the people you're trying to impress, and what a joke that is.
You know, it's funny. I'm thinking of the weekend where we met, and here we were. I don't know, were there 1,000 people at this thing, and you, your wife, and I are sitting in the front row, and people are you're on camera, and the cameras are on you. I never crossed my mind that you were famous, and it's like, wow, these people roll real nice, and it's like, well, wait a minute, I'm here too, and it's kind of like, well, this is interesting. You know, what is this? And it's funny because what is anything except what you make it?
No doubt.
And so you have made winning, part of a way, obviously, of life that you have, learned to win. And now you're teaching other people to do it, not only by example, but you're actually out there talking to the youth and stuff like that. So how does one learn how to win? How did you learn how to be a winner?
Yeah, that's just through life experiences. Let me kind of back up, and I'll kind of bring them all together. You know, I had like three phases of my life. One was when you're just trying to figure it out yourself and everything. It's always about you. And then my second phase of my life was when I just found out my passion was, and I went for my passion. Well, through my passion, I became successful. And through that success, I started getting all the material things that you wanted, that you thought would make you happy. And then you wake up one day with all the material things, and you're like, there's more to life than this. You know, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. And then now I'm going into my third phase. I've been going into my third phase for the last 7-8 years. And that phase is the win-win phase is what I call it. And it takes you a while to figure this out, but if I could talk to young people and tell the young people this, to get a win-win mentality, and what that means is to help everybody to win. So in other words, for me to be a winner in fighting, I always use fighting as an analogy because that's what I did, but for me to be a winner, it wasn't just me to make me a winner. I had to have the teamwork to get me to be a winner. You know, so I had to have a good team, good people around me. It's the same thing in life. So, and it's not just that, but the little guys, by me helping somebody else in business and in life, it helps me. It helps me, you make a friend that can come back and reward you down the road as well. If you can learn to do things for others without expecting something back from them, it comes back to you tenfold. And it's amazing to me that some of the things that I've in my life, how they've come back to me, and I look back and go, wow, that's really cool that, 10 years later, something like this, just little things. I can tell you a little story that did something that really touched my heart, that made me realize, the things you say really, really hit people, touch people and really can hit home. I had a friend of mine, a guy that trained at our gym with another fighter, a few years younger than me, and I used to train, and him and a few of the other guys, and the guy had more heart than you could ever imagine. Showed up every day, do anything he'd say. You'd be training, you'd be choking him, showing to show somebody something, and he'd pass out. He wouldn't even tap, and he'd say, "Why didn't you tap?" "Well, I don't tap, sir." And you're like, the kid's got just a heart, and the best work ethic you could ever imagine. And I remember he just had a baby, and had gotten laid off from his job, and he was all depressed and stuff. As you know, I said, "Hey, what's going on?" One day. And he's like, "Oh man, I just got laid off. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. We just had the kid a couple months ago." And I looked at him. I sat down with him. I said, "Let me tell you something that you don't see yet, but you will." I said, "I'm not worried about you at all, because I know you. You're a winner. You're a winner in life. Your work ethic is you'll wake up a year from now and you'll end up with a better job than you had before. And if you can get in the right frame of mind and keep your resume out there, 2-3 years from now, you'll have an even better job, because you're going up the ladder. You're the type of people want around you. You're a winner in life just because of the way you do everything." And, I didn't even remember this conversation I had with him, but he came up to me 5 years later and brought this up, and he said, "Man, I remember this that you said to me that time." I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And when he said that to me, it made me stop and realize how you can affect people by what you say to them. But what I said to him was the truth, and so you got to be careful what you say to people. But when you speak the truth, man, it can really, what it did for him was made him confident in himself to realize that he could. And by the way, a year later, he was making more money than he was before and had a lot better job, and his life was great. So that kind of thing really, really touches me when you realize the power that you have.
You obviously have done that to obviously more people than you remember, but now you actually are doing it consciously with kids, with people that are hooked on drugs and stuff like that. What is it that drives you there, and what is it that you're really saying to the kids and to people about life that are hooked on drugs?
Yeah, it's funny. People always, when I was younger, I used to say my prayers, and I'd be talking to God, and I'd say, what do you have planned for me? What am I supposed to be doing? And you're always sitting around waiting for some big event, him to show you the way and line it with roses or something so you know where you're going. And then one day I woke up and realized that's not what it's about. I need to go out there and go for it. Just, try to start working in other areas, and he'll show me if I'm on the right path or not, and guide me to the right path. And I kind of, how I got involved in with the rehabs and stuff was just, it literally fell in my lap. I had a friend of mine, a girlfriend of mine, that had some really bad problems. This was back in like 97, I think. And literally we were out at, I was at a bar one night in Dallas with a group of people sitting in a booth, and she was there, and people got up to go dance, and she sits there, and all of a sudden she just breaks down crying in the booth. And her life was a mess, and she was. And I just sat there, and I didn't know what to do. And I was, but at the same time, I wanted to help this person, but I didn't know how to help this person. And so I ended up going home, and I'm praying. I'm going, "God, how can I help this person?" And I literally just got up the next day and started calling around, started calling people, started calling places. And next thing you know, I found out this place you take them to there in Dallas, off of Lover's Lane. And so I go there and talk to them. I said, "Well, you need to bring her here." I said, "Okay." So I went and got her. But long story short, they ended up checking her into a rehabilitation place, which was a lockdown place. And she went in that for 6 months. Best thing that ever happened to her. Turned her life around. Today she's a professional-wise, but she's very, very successful. She's a mother, has a child, married, lives on a ranch, makes a very, very good income. Her education is off the charts. She got a grant, went back to school. You know, her life is, you know, just when you see those kind of rewards, just blow me away. And, you know, I can tell you story after story of people that, friends of mine. I had one buddy that I'm actually business partners with today. We're now, and he wouldn't mind me telling the story. He was the one, he's one of the ones that I've kind of given up on because he was so bad. He was strung out on crack cocaine, and he was living under a bridge down on Harry Hines in Dallas, which is a really kind of rough area. He was a guy that went from making a very good living, having a couple houses, big boat up at the lake, living the life, to spiraling downwards. And one that I just kept going, picking up, taking him to different rehab, going, he'd check out rehab, I'd take him back again, he'd check out again, I'd take him to a meeting, he'd keep, you know, kept going back and forth. And all of a sudden one day he disappeared. And I finally came to the realization, I said to myself, and I accepted this, I said, you know, I told my wife, I go, you know, you can't help everybody. You can, all I can do is try to show them the way. You can't save everybody. There's going to be casualties. And he disappeared. And about a year and a half later, I was at the gym working out one day, and I saw him come walking by the window. And I look up, and he has this big smile on his face, and he's waving at me. And I'm like, my gosh, he's alive. And he comes in. He's clean. He was in jail for a year. Got thrown in jail for a year for some other things having to do with the drugs. And the jail saved his life. He helped me clean up. And from that day forward, he's now he's a great quality person. He's doing things to help other people now. He gives back. If I know somebody has problems, he's the first person I call if I have somebody else that's having a drug problem. He'll go with me to intervene to go talk to him. So he's got his life together. Just a phenomenal guy. And it just shows you that, you know, you can, that one person that you give up on, I had given up on him. And he turns out to be, you know, just one of the best people. He's one of my best friends now. Just a great guy.
It doesn't sound like you gave up on him at all. It sounds like you did everything you could, and then when then you left it to God, and then sounds like you were the best thing that happened to him and to that lady and to all the other people, stories I've heard and stories that I look forward to hearing more of. This is, I'm honored that you're sharing this story with us and with our audience, and that you've been on with us, because that just says so much, and for people who look up to you and have looked up to you for years for what you've done in the ring, now have a different reason for looking up for you, and for those who have followed you and you know, tried to imitate some of your way of being, hopefully will incorporate some of this in their life too, and know that that you're doing it, and it's worth doing it, and people are saved, and people are better because of it, and we're better because you were on the show with us today, Trey. Thank you so much.
I sure appreciate it. I had a really good time.
I did too, and you know, hang with us, listen in, because your friend and mine and our producer, Mark Legere, is going to jump on here in a little bit, and we're going to have a producer's wrap and get to talk about you. All right?
Oh, great.
So stay tuned. Looking forward to it right after this.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook, and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, I am Filippo, and we're back. We have just had a great interview with Trey Teligman, and here's Mark Legere for the producer's wrap.
So, good idea to have him on the show.
And he's such a nice guy.
Let me tell you something. Trey has become one of my closest friends. I'm honored that he took the time out and was willing to share that discussion with us. The word that kept coming up through that interview was real.
Yeah.
And that word is probably one of the best words to describe Trey. You know, he's the kind of guy that that doesn't pull any punches unless he's in the ring, obviously. Then he pulls them and throws them. But he's when he's outside of the ring, he's the one that's going to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. He's the guy that when the building's on fire, while you're thinking about what to do, he's already on his way out from the first trip with two kids under his arms. Mm. And you know, he just doesn't think about making a move when it comes time to help people.
Just does the right thing. Just does the right thing.
And what a juxtaposition of having the career that has made him and having, you know, built the notoriety and you know, being known for being Trey Trauma Teligman and you know, the win record that he has and the ups and downs that he's faced, you know, becoming that and becoming the champion, etc., the wins and losses, everything that goes into that, becoming that role model, but then having been able to transition that to being such a successful businessman. He's a serial entrepreneur, running and involved in multiple companies, consulting for multiple companies, advising.
Yeah, we didn't even get to talk about that.
We didn't have time to talk about that today. And then, you know, outside of that, obviously, all of what we started to touch on, which really only scratches the surface of helping kids, helping overcoming addiction, the motivational speaking. He's a force. And you know, I'm proud to call him a friend. I'm glad he's on the show, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to do a lot more with him in the future.
You know, and you mentioned the business and the consulting and all that. What's interesting is that I went to those sites and I was reading up on you know, how he just talks about the business. And this is business, right? People say business is business. Well, how he talks about the business is people are important. We take what people think under consideration and we work as a team and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, he means this shit.
It goes back to being real, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people in business are posturing or you know, selling or spinning. Trey gets out there and he does what he feels right. Just everything that he said, you know, in this discussion, he does in his business, in his home life, in his family, and with his friends. And that's why I wanted him on, is because he's such an example of what I call real courage. Yeah, does it take courage to get in the ring and do what he does? Sure it does. Of course it does. But I think the things that he's done outside of the ring take far more courage.
Yeah.
To own the truth, to face any adversity, to overcome, to help others overcome adversity. That, to me, is a real warrior. And that's why I'm proud to know Trey.
You know, you know him, and I know you know him well, and I know that, you know, he says a lot, never give up, right? As a matter of fact, I loved his quotes, and I'm glad we shared some. Maybe we should put those also underneath the bio on the website when we post that. But one quote that I also really like that I didn't mention, but I'll mention now, is never, never give up. This is what he says about himself. I may not be the fastest, nor the strongest, and definitely not the smartest, but I am the most tenacious. See you at the finish line. And it should go on to say before you.
well, it's funny that you bring up that quote for two reasons. A, you know, my kinship with the word everyman, and
right.
You know, the you know, kind of fighting for the common man, and you know, society has a way of telling you that you're too short or not pretty enough or too heavy or too this or too that.
Right.
And yet, if you have the kind of fortitude and confidence that people like Trey display, you'll make it. You'll get past what society says. The other thing I think is funny about that quote is I always told Trey that I'm not afraid to get in the ring with him because he'd have to catch me because I'm fast.
And you'd be running away. You know, actually, I have to say that he is a big guy. He's a really big guy, but tall and wide. And so when he, at the beginning of the show, he says, you know, when you get in the ring with me and you have a weak left hook, I'm like, don't use the word you, because I can't even picture being in the ring with you, you know, unless I'm the announcer. it just doesn't work for me. I don't have that kind of wish.
Yeah, it takes a special person to do what he does with that kind of confidence. But it really goes to that word real that we were talking about, the type of courage and what he is now doing in transitioning his life to impact kids, to impact those that are simply in need. I know that he and his wife, Tana, who's a dear friend, and also you met, obviously, you spoke of her. You know, what a power couple they are in standing up, making a difference in other people's lives, getting involved in a number of ventures that are doing this. And for no other reason than they're committed to it, than they're sincere and genuine about it, that they really want to make that difference. There's no other attachment to it. It's for no other, you know, it has nothing to do with ego. It has every bit to do with that's who they are.
Yeah.
And to be wrapped in the kind of package that they are, I think you were referencing the king and queen of the prom at
exactly.
one point. To be wrapped in that package and to be able to bring that kind of positivity to the people that they touch, that's pretty cool.
No, exactly. We were in the front row of this thing, and people were coming by saying hi to them. And I'm like, I feel like I'm with the king and queen of the prom. Of course, they felt like they were with the porn stars. So we were all, you know,
no wonder the cameras were on all day. But that's you know, you talk about that, and that's interesting because both of them, I'm certain, when you go, it kind of brings it home, brings it back to your monologue, being judged. You know, I'm certain that Tana has had her share of being judged for how beautiful she is and not being recognized for her brain and her heart. And same way, Trey being judged for his fighting and people never getting to know the other side of him. So, you know, it's not just the people that are too short or too tall or do too this or too that. You know, we all in one capacity or, you know, one facet or another face judgment. And I think it's such a good example. They set such a good example of how when you look past the obvious or you look past the programming, you know, what's inside is probably much, much more magical.
Yeah. And you know, talking about magic, I loved and I was honored by the fact that I know he doesn't talk about what some people call handicap, and that's, you know, the muscle missing because of the accident at 1.5 years old. But he brought it up himself, and I thought it was great because in my mind, at least, I made the connection. It's like, wait a minute, if a guy without that muscle, which you think would be really important to do what he does, then, you know, just think what, you know, like everything's possible.
Yeah, it certainly.
Like he didn't even let that stop him.
It's overcoming adversity. I know he has more body missing than most people have in general. And you know, he just saw that as a catalyst, as a reason to get better, as a reason to overcome. And that's the kind of guy Trey is. And you know, give him an inch, and he'll go a mile. And I think that's the cool thing about him.
Well, the funny thing is the first time I met him, you know, when we were talking about all this stuff, and I'm listening going, yeah, that's a cool way of thinking of that. Oh, that's really interesting. I wonder where he got that. I, you know, and like he said on the show, he's like, a lot of life experience. That's where I got that. But a lot of people have life experiences, not like him, but they have them and they don't register. They don't make the connection. They don't like string it along and have something to show for it or to talk about. You know, it just happened.
Yeah, people go through life and don't pay attention. Don't even look at their own lives. They're too busy worrying about tomorrow, worrying about the car payment, worrying about this or that.
He had those worries.
Well,
I'm sure
we all do. But the point is he stops long enough to take a look at what he's doing and what it means and how he can become better. Whether it's becoming better in the ring, whether it's becoming better in business, whether it's becoming now a better motivational, a better person.
Yeah, helping, you know, people.
And that's, I think, a lesson for all of us to take the time and evaluate ourselves and make a move.
Exactly. And so then when I finally got to talk to him because I knew he was going to be on the show, I'm listening to him taking all these notes, going, "Wow, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Wow, you know, that's coming from Trey." And, you know, we're going to talk about this and this and this. And I've got like all these pages and notes, and we didn't even get to talk about two pages. So I think we should have Trey on the show next Monday and the Monday after that. Well, if not that, then we need to have him on again soon. What do you say, Mark?
I agree.
Do you think he'd agree?
I think he would.
Right. Well, I'd be glad of that, and I'm grateful to have had him on the show today. Thanks to our producer, Mark Lejeune, and thanks to Dorothy Donahue, our producer as well, and thanks to me for being Filippo, and thanks to our engineer, Seth, for being the engineer, and thanks to all of you for listening to us. Ciao, all.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. Change the world. Now's the time. Now's the time.